the guy who drives it through.
Hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, just deep kick. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
It's not a choice anymore, you know. We're going to have to be much more effective in the transfer market, and everybody in the club knows that now.
Ljubicic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with him. Ljubicic! Oh, wow! Lucas Ljubicic!
Thick or thin, no matter what happens, we're privileged to be part of this club.
And here they come again, Rangers stretched, it's Arnott again, Fishwood committing himself, and he scored! It's 3-0 to Motherwell!
Yeah, obviously, being on the podcast is everything I dreamed of.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though. Still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Hello and welcome to the fourth of our summer special podcasts. Today, myself, Jay and Buster are delighted to welcome along Richie Foran. Richie, thank you very much for agreeing to come on.
No problem, lads. It's a pleasure.
Well, I've got to start. Richie, I know it's been a very frustrating season for you, but to congratulate you and all the guys at Inverness and your Scottish Cup win, it's always great to see a team out with the so-called Big Two winning a trophy.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic season, to be fair, you know. Also, to finish in third position, it's a remarkable achievement from a club of our size, our stature, you know, and we think it's great, yeah. As you said, like when the so-called lower clubs, the smaller clubs go on and win a cup, I'm not sure if Sky Sports would agree with that, or maybe the Scottish Football Association would agree with what we think. It's great for Scotland, but it comes from hard work through the season. It comes from a bit of luck as well regarding injuries to players. Comes with maybe a bit of luck for referees' decisions at time as well. So, but also comes from hard graft, and you need to have that little bit of quality as well in your team. And I think we've got the quality in terms of our players as well.
Despite not being involved in the cup final, were you able to partake in the celebrations that followed? I'm sure Inverness was rather lively in the days that followed the final.
Yeah, it was indeed. You know, I didn't go overboard on the park after the game. I just didn't feel like I contributed enough to the season. Obviously, regarding I didn't kick a football all season, and I just didn't want to be jumping around and lifting the cup in terms of that. But on the inside, I was buzzing, you know, deep down. And I started participating in the celebrations the minute we got in the dressing room. And our bus journey home was, none of us can remember that at the moment. But we were told it was a long, long bus journey up to Inverness. I think we reached Inverness at about 11:30, 12:00. So we'd a good 5 hours on the bus, and we stopped off in Auchterarder for a few points as well. So it was, as I said, I just didn't feel I contributed enough during the season to be jumping around and even lifting the cup. So I done my celebrations in the dressing room and on the team bus with the players.
Good on you. That's great to hear. Well, we'll move on to your time at Motherwell, and you arrived at Fir Park in 2004. You couldn't have really picked a better game to make your debut in, as a chance to show off your talents, an away game at Celtic in the opening day of the season. What can you remember, having played with Shelburne and then moving on to Carlisle? It must have been a fairly big jump in stage and stature to go and play at Celtic Park.
It was huge. It was the biggest game I played in since I've been a professional footballer, and that was, I think, 2.5 seasons at Carlisle and a season and a half at Shelburne. So my first game from Motherwell to go to Parkhead with nearly a full house, you know, against the mighty Celtic Football Club was remarkable, you know. And I only got on for about 10 minutes. I'm sure I only came off the bench for about 10 minutes. I'm not sure if it was Clark, so I came on for Clarkey, but I just remember walking on and this big, massive stadium full of Celtic, full of green and white. I looked around and thought it was remarkable, and it's what I really wanted to be part of from then on in. But saying that, my most enjoyable stadium always was Fir Park. I speak to a few of the players, and players will say, I love Parkhead or Ibrox or Tynecastle. When I was a Motherwell player, I loved playing at home in front of our supporters. I had a great connection with our supporters, you know. I got some great, great feedback from them when I left as well, and I really enjoyed my time there. And if I had the best, had to pick a most enjoyable place to play football, it would have been Fir Park for me, to be honest.
Yeah, as you say, things clicked very quickly for you at Motherwell. And I think possibly it would be the goal against Inverness in the League Cup. And then you also scored in a 3-2 win at Livingston the following Saturday. The team were going really well before we hit a wee bit of a slump before Christmas that season, didn't we?
That's right. I think we always seemed to, even up in Inverness, we seem to hit a bit of a slump around Christmas time. I don't know if it happens to most clubs. I think maybe a lot of clubs, you'll start well, you'll have a good 3 or 4 months, and then you'll have a bit of a dull period, maybe over Christmas and January, or else you won't start the league very well, but you'll come into your own after a few months around the Christmas time, so it's the other way around. But I do remember, yeah, but that's when it's vital that you have a big squad, you know, and you've got players on the bench that can come on and can change games, that can impact the game as well. And we had that at Motherwell as well, I remember.
The cup run in the League Cup was fantastic. And after beating Livingston convincingly in the quarterfinals, we moved on to play Hearts in the semi-final at Easter Road. That still goes down as one of my most memorable nights as a Motherwell supporter. Such contrasting emotions from being 2-0 up to losing a late goal to make it 2-2, and then winning with what was nearly the final kick of the ball and extra time. The celebrations in the park that night were tremendous. What are your memories of that night?
Yeah, it's actually, I was thinking about that game today. I was looking back thinking what would have been one of my favourite games, and that's probably up there as well, you know. Obviously we were underdogs going into that game. Hearts were the top team at the time. They were paying out a lot of money as well to players, and but we loved that tag going into games, underdogs. Terry Butcher loved that, and he drilled that into us. You're underdogs, no one likes you, everyone hates you. He done the same at Motherwell, so we were really up for the game. And I think I scored in that myself. I think I scored a penalty in that, if I remember right. I remember it was 2 weeks, and I'm sure who got the winner was
Mark Fitzpatrick.
Mark Fitzpatrick, that's right. Well, unusual goal scorer ever. He never even had a shot on goal. That's right, yeah. He pulled out a cracker out of a bag for us. I think I might have been on the bench at the time. I think I was took off like the usual. I'd blow up after maybe 75, 80 minutes. But it was remarkable. And there's nothing like it when you're an underdog to go on and to beat a big side. And at the time, Hearts were a huge team in Scottish football. And it was a great night for us. It really was.
That obviously brought the first cup final for Motherwell FC in 14 years. In the end, it was a rather disappointing day. I think it was well documented going into that game that the team fancied their chances, but in that final against Rangers, I guess we just didn't show up.
that's fair enough if you can sum it up, to be fair. We were really embarrassed after that game, if we're being honest. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Were we 3-0 down at half time?
I don't think any of us want to remember.
Can we not just move on to the next question? But no, it was terrible. We were very, very poor, you know. We were trundling a few goals early doors, and the Rangers team were on fire. They came out of traps flying, and they didn't give us the chance to get going, you know. And before every old firm game, whether you're playing Celtic or Rangers, would be your team talk would be keep it scoreless for the first 20 minutes and you'll have a little chance. But I don't even think we could manage even 10, 15 minutes in that game. So once Rangers got the first goal, they went on to roll all over us and absolutely dominated the game from start to finish. And then probably embarrassed was the best word I could describe that from a player's point of view after the game. It was very, very disappointing. And but maybe we'll just look back at the semi-final and forget about the final.
There were still more memories to come in that season, though, wasn't there? The Celtic coming to Fir Park, expected to be another team to steamroller, maybe in the way that Rangers had in that final, win the league at Fir Park. It will be a day that goes down in Scottish football history in terms of the way that one worked out. What are your memories of that one?
Yeah, it was awesome as well, to be fair. That'll be spoken about for years and years to come, that game. It was remarkable, you know, and no one gave us a chance. But I tell you what, as I said before, Teddy Butcher had us up for that game. He wasn't much of a fan of Celtic Football Club, to be fair to him, Big Teddy. So he had us riled up for the game, and there was just no pressure on us going into the game, and we know what it's like being the favourites, especially with the cup final gone for Inverness. Having that favourite tag brings an added bit of pressure, and Celtic were obviously, they were there to party and celebrate in terms of their supporters, and they were there to lift the cup, but he just couldn't get the second goal. That was that big Marchian goal was immense for us. And I remember then going into the end of the first half, I could hear all the Celtic players arguing and moaning with the ref. And I think their bottle was starting to go, to be honest. I think they were feeling the pressure because he couldn't get that second goal. Because a 1-0 lead is not nice at all, you know. It's itchy bum time. And I remember then, I think the first goal that Scotty got, I absolutely shanked one. I tried to take a strike on goal, and I think it's bounced about 10 times before it's got to Scotty, but it bounced right up in front of us. I think it was his left shoulder, and he sort of turned and volleyed, and it went into the top corner. So all of a sudden I said, whoa. So at that time I remember Scotty running off to celebrate, but I ran back. I said, I'm not celebrating, I've got to go back to Ireland in a few days after that. So I actually ran the opposite way from Scotty. I wasn't going near them, to be fair. You know, I didn't mind getting any hassle when I went back to Ireland, but it was remarkable. And once the first goal went in, you know, you could see the Celtic players, they were gone. There was no coming back from after that, and it was a remarkable day, and it's one that every player that played in and every supporter was at the game will remember probably for the rest of their lives.
As you says, Richie, I seem to remember Craig Bellamy missing a few chances, and at the time, I can't imagine if I said it or if I was just thinking it to ourselves, but as you says, their bottle was going. I thought, you know, they're getting a bit of fear here, and you know, as you say, when Scott McDonald scored day 2 goals, I could have went into every Rangers pub in Bells Hill and no bought a pint.
Me too. I think I actually did go into every Rangers pub, if that was a move. But I never glow. One thing I've never done is glow, because I've been in a situation where I've lost a league at the last game of the season as well with Shelbourne. So I'd never glow, and I would never glow now. You know, we were doing our jobs. We get paid by Motherwell Football Club to win games and to play to the best of our ability. And it was actually Craig Bellamy who was moaning a lot to the referee and with his players, just moaning because he wasn't getting the little breaks, the decisions, and he couldn't get the second goal. And We talk about that now in Inverness. We do love to hear the opposition players arguing with each other and arguing with the ref, because we know we have them. We know their bottle is gone. We know their focus is gone. And that's an advantage to us straight away. And as I said, we got a little lift then at half time. We said in our team talk, it says, these are bottles starting to go. They're starting to argue. They're getting frustrated with each other because they couldn't get the second goal. And Terry just says, keep believing. You will score. And we did.
It's also, you know, it's pretty obvious as well, but to hear you say things like, you know, we're paid by Motherwell, we're there to do what we need to do, especially, you know, when you hear stories of who people grew up supporting and things like that, and, you know, Scott McDonald was obviously a big fan of Celtic himself, so, you know, it sort of plays down that, you know, you any sort of player would ever lie down just for the sake of the team that they once supported.
Exactly. It doesn't happen. It's ridiculous to say that the players that won't try as hard as he did if they're supporting the team. But I remember Scotty told us when he came back over for the start of the next season, he said when he went home to Australia a couple of weeks after the game, I think, and when he landed in the airport, he thought Russell Crowe was walking behind him when he first came out of the departures, with the amount of cameramen and photographers and press were just hounding him, more or less asking him, what has he done? What did he do with the Celtic Football Club? And he couldn't believe the reaction he even got back at home. But it just shows you, like the Celtic and Rangers, they're worldwide, they're huge, huge football clubs. And that was the impact he had even in Australia with Scotty scoring them two goals.
Just want to ask you a question about season. I don't know whether this is an urban myth or you can maybe clear this up for us, but there was an international break around about the September just after you arrived.
It's true. It's true.
So was that a cup final, a Gaelic cup final that you went to play in?
Yeah, and I enjoyed every bit of it, to be honest. It was Gaelic football final for my local Gaelic team, which my brother played for, which my father was a selector, more or less a first team coach at the team, and one of my good friends was the manager. So I'd played in actually all the previous rounds as well, which Teddy Butcher didn't know either. But it was it was funny, we were playing in the stadium, but the stadium we were playing in, there was probably only 50 people watching us, but there was a massive Gaelic football game on after us on the same park, and things weren't going well for us. Our club was called St. Joseph O'Connell Boys, so we weren't doing great. So my father, the manager, didn't want to bring me on really, because they knew maybe I had a chance to back the Motherwell Football Club, but with 20 minutes to go, we were losing by 3 or 4 points, he told me to warm up, and as I was warming up, all the press started to come in for the game that was on after us. And while I was just doing my stretches, a radio report was walking by and he spotted me. So that I knew even before I got on the game that it was going to get out to the media. So it wasn't going to stop me, to be fair. I still have to this day huge passion for Gaelic football. It's what I was brought up playing. I love the sport, the real physical sport, and a lot of people said I was a better Gaelic footballer than a soccer player, but I had to pick one or the other, and, you know, soccer's given me my living. It pays my wages. Gaelic was never going to do that, but it was a game that I don't regret going back for. Luckily enough, those years I'd never get injured, and I could always protect myself, and I knew when to go in for a challenge and when to pull out, so that was never going to be a problem, really. And luckily enough, we went to win that final as well, and it was all down to me. No, it wasn't.
I know he comes across as a gentleman and a gentle giant, but he doesn't look like the most placid of figures either, Terry Butcher. What was his reaction when you returned to Motherwell?
He was I think he was actually away. I think he was away doing some TV work. It might have been in Australia. He was away somewhere anyway. He got a phone call from a reporter asking, had he any comments to make on the situation? And he told the reporter he didn't even know what he was talking about because he didn't. So anyway, he came home and then I met him. Then he called me into his office. But in fairness, he was great. He understood that it was my father's team and my brother played, and he knew how much I loved Gaelic football. But the main thing is, he says, just don't do it again. And he was fine with that. And Terry wasn't one for finding me a lot of money, to be fair. He knew I didn't make a lot of money at the club, and he knew I gave everything while I was there. But maybe people say it was a silly thing to do, and as I said, Motherwell paid my wages regarding injuries and stuff, but I always looked after myself. So to be honest, big tell. He didn't go overboard, he didn't lose the head. Maybe it's because it was 3 weeks previous he found out he'd calmed down by then.
Your second season turned out to be Terry Butcher's last season at the club. It wasn't as successful on the park, but for you personally, it was a very successful campaign, finishing the season top scorer. And again, the League Cup, I was looking at your record in the League Cup for Motherwell. It's quite extraordinary. You made 10 starts and scored 11 goals in the competition. Very, very impressive. But you got the opening goal and possibly the biggest game of that season, the semi-final against Celtic. It didn't end the way we wanted, and a player adored by the Motherwell supporters like Martin Corrigan making the error for the pass back. It was one of the hardest defeats. We talked about how great it was to beat Hearts and the fashion it was in that game. This was kind of the opposite end of the scale, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was, and we were well in the game. I was lucky enough I got the goal. I remember a high cross coming in, and Arthur Borders just came out, thought he was just going to pluck it out of the air nice and easy. So I'd always got a good spring on me, to be honest. Maybe that come from the Gaelic football. So I said, I'm going to go for this, and I don't think he was expecting me to come in over the top, and I got a good leap and a good jump and managed to head it in the goal. So, yeah, we got a great lift from that goal as well. But Wee Marty, yeah, he liked a mega player in his own box, and he was into all that sort of stuff and dribbling around players. He played more like a striker than a defender, Marty did at times. He's a cracking lad, a great guy, a really good guy in football. And obviously, I think he tried to play too much football maybe at the wrong time, and they got nicked. Oh, I think he gave away a free kick, which Sean Maloney put in the top corner. So it was tough for Marty, but maybe it wasn't their year.
Got to the end of the season and Terry departed for Sydney, and Morris Malpass was promoted from number two to the manager's position. It was a season that didn't really work out. I know you only spent the first half at the club. How big a blow was it for you personally, given that Terry Butcher brought you to the club, to see him leave?
It was a little bit, because I was probably a little bit younger in them days as well. So it was sort of the first time that's really happened for me. And I had a great relationship with Terry. You know, he liked me as a person. I liked him as a person. And he gave me a great opportunity when I was coming from Carlisle. They got relegated. He didn't offer me a new contract. I'd been in a bit of trouble off the park. I'd only scored, I think it was 3 or 4 goals that season. So he took a chance. So, you know, I owe him a lot still to this day, but it was a bit sad to see him go. But I got on well with Morris as well, and we knew what Morris was all about. So it wasn't like there was an outsider coming in. So we were all quite happy when Morris took over. We just wish we could have performed a little bit better under him, you know. And Morris, obviously, I think he got sacked at the end of last season, which is unfortunate. But that's what happens when you're a manager, you know. It all comes back to the manager. Maybe a few of the players didn't perform well enough that season, but you can't sack all the players, so someone has to go. Unfortunately, it was for Morris, but I got on great with Morris as well, and I actually thought I played some good football for him and scored a few goals. So he was a good guy as well, Morris.
Part of that was a hat trick at Hampden, perhaps not how you would have envisioned scoring a hat trick when you came to Scotland, being it was against Queen's Park, but still a memory that you can hold quite dearly, scoring 3 goals at the Scottish National Stadium.
Yes, exactly. I haven't got a lot of stuff. I normally talk about that, or else I talk about my Champions League goals with Shelbourne to the players. But I made sure I let them all know. Actually, we were on the park before the cup final. As you do, you go out, you have a look at the grass, look at the pitch, look around. I made sure I told at least 20 of the boys that I scored a hat-trick in the goal down there. So, yeah. I don't like to gloat, but I like to have a bit of a laugh and a joke. But, yeah, it is something that I will remember, although I think there was probably only 500 supporters at the game, but they can't take that away from me, so I'll hold on to that just because I haven't got much else, to be fair.
Your time at Fir Park finished, your last game was a game against Hibs, and then you would move on to Southend. Earlier on in the month of January, you had already seen guys like Stephen Hamill leave, but I think notably it's been mentioned some of the guys that Morris brought in didn't really work out. Guys like Paul Keegan, Trevor Malloy. Was there a feeling amongst the players that perhaps the quality of signing was beginning to dip slightly? It did feel like that amongst the supporters at the time. It was a kind of step into the unknown, but I suppose, given how successful you were at Motherwell, the Irish leagues were maybe worthwhile kind of delving into, but these signings really didn't work out, did they?
No, they didn't. Yeah, as simple as that, they didn't, you know. But Motherwell, just like Inverness are now, you've got to go around looking for bargain basement players, you know. You've got to look for cheap footballers that come with a good reputation. And the lads came with a really good reputation in Ireland, and they weren't going to cost Motherwell a fortune to get. And we knew Motherwell couldn't pay out a lot of wages as well. So, you know, at the time, they were the right signings. And I think Paul was injury prone, to be fair, when he came, so he didn't really get a run of games. And Trevor had a little bit of something about him, but just couldn't get that consistency going. But yeah, in a nutshell, I'm sure Morris would have looked for a bit more from those two players, but it wasn't to be. And it's one of the most important parts of football is recruitment, and you know it's really, really, really hard to find those bargain basement players, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Can I just ask, Richie, in terms of Morris Malpass getting the promotion, was that something that was kind of expected? You know, you obviously get a lot of assistants who are promoted when the manager leaves, but then there are also a lot of assistant managers that kind of just seem to be, you know, that is what they're good at. And I think Morris Malpass has shown, obviously, at Motherwell and then obviously at Inverness, that he's probably more of a coach or an assistant manager. Do you think that was partly to do with, you know, it not going well, or was it more to do with the players on the park?
For me, I'll always say, it'll always come back to the players on the park. You can't look, the manager's on the sideline, he's not on the park with you, and the coach is on the side, he's not on the park with you. They give you a plan. They train you the way everyone else gets trained. It's your job to go out and perform on match days, and we didn't do it. Simple as that. I'll never look to blame a manager or anyone else like that if the players aren't doing it on the park, and the players weren't doing it, and they weren't doing it well enough. Yeah, I think we might have got a few injuries as well, and maybe the lads that got signed didn't make the impact that we would have liked as well. But at the end of the day, it was a total great bit of advice early on in my career. Says, after a defeat or after a bad game, don't look to blame other players. Look at yourself first. Ask yourself, have you performed well enough? And that season, none of us performed well enough. And so I put it down to the players.
That's an interesting point there, because I can remember Ross McCormack came in at the start of the season, didn't he? And he was injured right from the off. You look at his next season under Mark McGee, where he really flourished. I suppose things like that can make or break a manager as well, can't they? He's found a player of McCormack's quality, he's brought him in, and then he's not been able to play him.
Yeah, it was really, really disappointing, because we could see that Ross had that bit of quality in training. You know, he was a real low centre of gravity. He was a goal scorer as well. He was strong, he was quick, and we could see that. But that was another part that didn't go right for Morris, has not been able to get him fit. And Every team needs a player, a striker that can get them 20 goals a season. They're the teams that are going to finish in the top half of the season. I don't think we had that. Yeah, I think I nipped them a few goals myself, but I was never a prolific goal scorer, to be fair. And so, yeah, that was a thing that didn't go for us either that season, that's for sure.
So the bid came in from Championship. Well, they were then Championship, Southend. Motherwell accepted a fee. It was reported around £200,000. How much of a wrench was it, given your 2.5 years at Motherwell, to move on, especially when the team was struggling a bit?
It was tough, and it was probably the worst decision I made in football. I honestly regret that decision. At the time, I had my agent, obviously, trying to push me on a little bit, which is not a problem. He's trying to do his job. But also, as you said, Southend were in the Championship as well down south. For me, I class the Championship as a better league than the Scottish Prem, and I still do, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Plus, financially, as I said, Motherwell can't pay really good wages, so I was trebling my wages, simple as that. And that's a big difference, you know. And when you get offered them contracts during your career, you have to go and do it. In hindsight now, when I look back, I didn't really kick a ball for Southend. I sat around a lot. I fell out with the manager, more or less. He wasn't going to play me. He wasn't even going to put me on the bench. Even when he couldn't fill the bench, he'd rather put me in the stand. He was trying to drive me out. So I dug my teeth right in. I was never going to leave if he was going to try. And I was never going to try be bullied by anyone to leave a football club, by a manager or the chairman. So, but it was a year and a half, 2 years wasted of my football career, I think. And honestly, I believe that I should have stayed at Motherwell, because I believe it's the best football I've played in my career at Motherwell. I had a great relationship with the players, management, the staff, and a wonderful, wonderful relationship with all the supporters. I love playing at Fir Park, it was my favourite ground. So I look back at that with a bit of a regret, to be honest. It was probably the wrong decision, but sometimes in life you make the wrong decisions.
You were able to head back north when Terry Butcher brought you back to Inverness. I know in the initial stages you suffered relegation, but from an outsider looking in, it seems like your stock has only risen at Inverness. You've become club captain. You've been prolific. You seem to score every time you play against us as well now.
That's right, to be fair. But I also remember at Motherwell, I always scored against Inverness. It's a strange, strange thing. I used to love going up to Inverness because I'd always score. But, yeah, look, I remember, I think I seen it on Sky Sports News, Terry Butcher getting the Inverness job, and I knew straight away in the next few hours my phone would be gone. And my agent got on very well with Terry, and I knew Terry would be looking for players, so I was absolutely jumping around my house in South End. But to be honest, previous to that, I think 6 months before, I got my agent to contact Motherwell. I think Mark McGee was there at the time because I wanted to come back. But he wasn't interested, to be fair, in signing him. He didn't need me or what it was, I don't know. But I would have been delighted to go back to Motherwell. So it wasn't to be, so I just had to sit around then, and Terry got the job. And yeah, I haven't looked back since. I really loved the place up here. Obviously, we were relegated. We 3 or 4 months there. We couldn't change it around, me and Terry. So a Premiership club actually came in for me when we were relegated, but I turned them down. I felt I had to stay loyal, especially after the South End decision leaving Motherwell. So I have to stay loyal to Terry and to Inverness. So I hung on there in the First Division, and it's one of the greatest seasons I can remember. It probably is the greatest season, although last season for Inverness was fantastic, but I didn't play. But our First Division, we just rolled over teams, and then we got promoted. Yeah, we haven't looked back since. Yeah, we've improved every season. So I was given the armband as well, which was an absolute honour. It's probably the greatest achievement in my career. It's for a manager to show his belief in me, that he thinks I'm a leader and he thinks I can lead the team and lead the club. So I was absolutely delighted to get the armband as well. And yes, I haven't looked back since. I love my time up here. I love my football in Inverness, but I also do miss Motherwell a bit, to be fair.
You touched on that with the supporters there. When a player leaves Motherwell, you normally expect them to come back and get pelters from the supporters. You're one of the very few that doesn't get that sort of treatment. You've always been held in very high regard by the fans. It was one of the reasons that we asked you to come on this. The fans still regard you as a hero. It must be nice coming back to a former club and be shown that sort of respect.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I definitely think a hero is a strong word. Maybe I'm probably held in high regard, but I wouldn't say I'm a hero. But I remember the first game I came back, and I think I was playing on the left wing for Inverness, so I'd walk straight across from the dugouts coming out, and all the supporters started to clap in the stand, and I didn't actually register that they were clapping me and standing up and clapping me. I thought it was the Motherwell players beside me, and it was unbelievable. It wasn't until after the game where my teammates mentioned it to me. Well, they said they've never seen that like that themselves, where an ex-player would come back and he'd get a standing ovation, which is, I remember it to this day. It was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me. But it was remarkable, yeah. And as I said, it's your hair stands up in the back of your neck even when you talk about it. It's a great place to play football, Fir Park. It's really compact. You know, the stands are right on top of the park, and you can get a great atmosphere going at times. And it's great. And another great, I've never had a chance to say goodbye to the supporters either. You know, it's funny when you leave a football club, it's one phone call, and you could be gone in a couple of hours on the flight. You run in, you grab your boots out of the club, you don't even have a chance to say goodbye, and you're gone, and you never come back. And that's probably the sad part of football as well. You don't get to say your goodbyes to a club that treated me really, really well. And but I've huge respect for Motherwell Football Club, and I'm just delighted he stayed in the league as well last year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to move on to. We started this podcast following the departure of Stuart McCall, and most of the season it's not been the most upbeat podcast, I must confess. We've had very little to be cheery about, but the playoff was certainly one of those occasions. I've talked about good times while you've been at Motherwell. In terms of my life support in Motherwell, I think particularly the win at Ibrox was one of the most special nights I've ever had supporting the club. We were pretty unfancied, were written off in the press, and we really, really stepped up to the mark. Were you able to follow the game?
I did. I actually seen the first half, and to be honest, I was a bit shocked myself. But they were, the Motherwell lads were absolutely on fire. They were very, very brave on the day. To be honest, I expected Rangers to come through to get promoted. I thought Motherwell were the team that was going down. Rangers were the team that were coming up. But I was a bit shocked with how the Motherwell players played. But just shows they got a few players back from injury as well, which he'd obviously missed. Key players like Sahami and stuff like that, who's been immense for years for Motherwell, and you really, really deserved that win. And I would have liked Ibrox, Rangers to come back into the league. Obviously, we like going to Ibrox, and for the Air Club in Inverness, Rangers bring up a massive amount of supporters, bring a lot of money to the town as well. But I'm really delighted that Motherwell ended up staying in the league, and hopefully Rangers can come up next year.
Obviously, Scott McDonald played a big part in the final part of the season for Motherwell, and also in these two playoff games. You couldn't have been very surprised to see your former teammate go on to have more success in his career and then maybe come back and finish the job at Fir Park.
Yeah, it's excellent for him. He's one of the lucky ones. He got back to Fir Park, to be fair. Scotty is a player that will go into the dressing room, and he won't only lift the supporters, he'll lift the dressing room as well. He'll have a real presence about him, and players get a lift when a really good player comes in, and especially when one comes back who's been there before. You know, everyone can have the old players can have the banter and crack with him, and he gives the whole place a lift. And you're a better team when you have Scott McDonald in your side, that's for sure.
Do you think that there's perhaps there's a lot of talk here just now that Scott will sign on and perhaps play again at Motherwell next season? He's a player that's has played at a very high level, but he seems to be very settled when he's at a club where he's liked, and he's given a wee bit of freedom to perhaps just, well, when he's putting the ball in the net, basically.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he comes back. He's always loved Motherwell. He loves the club. He loves the way the way it's run. He loves Scotland. He loves Glasgow. He loves the area. So I'll be surprised if he doesn't sign, to be fair. Maybe he might have a future as well at Motherwell when he's finished playing. I think he's 31 now, so he's got a good few years left. But maybe the club could tie him into some sort of role when his contract comes to an end. That could probably entice him to come as well. And he'd be a great addition to have on there. As I said, it gives everyone a lift, and he does score goals. And he's a handful to play against. Centre-halves don't like playing against him. He's that small, stocky lad, strong. He's got some pace about him as well. And hopefully he does. I'd like to see him get back to Motherwell. I think the fans deserve a lift like that. And please God, he'll sign again.
Just more on yourself. I know it's been a lengthy, lengthy layoff you've had with your injury. John Hughes had previously said that the summer months would be a massive time for you. How's your recuperation coming along?
I'm going well, going very well. We're back in training Thursday now, so I've been running hard on the beach, on the grass, on the treadmill, so all straight line running. So I think maybe the next 2 or 3 weeks will tell whether I'm going to make a comeback or maybe whether I'll have to finish up, to be honest. So I don't think my knee could go through any more operations, but at the moment in time, it's great at the moment. The test will be when I go back doing some twisting and turning, and which will happen over the next 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm really looking forward to it. I've never been really one for getting excited. I'm looking forward to coming back for pre-season because I enjoy my holidays. I enjoy a nice cold beer in the beer garden over the summer, as you know, I'm sure. I'm really excited about coming back, and yeah, I'm probably like a new player. I haven't trained yet under really the manager's new training system, under his new shape, the way we play. You know, when he first came in, he didn't change a lot at all. He just wanted to leave us be because he came in quite late in the season. So I haven't got the chance to enjoy his training methods or his shapes and tactics and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to getting in there. I'm looking forward to battling for my position and battling for the jersey because the team have done very, very well last season. But I've got huge confidence that I can get back into that starting 11 and I'm going to be grafting really, really hard to get back in there.
He's an engaging character, isn't he, John Hughes? How important has he been in keeping your spirits up during, what was it, March 2014, your last game? So it's over a year out. How big a figure has he been in keeping your spirits up?
To be honest, no one needs to keep my spirits up, because it's, at the end of the day, I spoke about this a lot, I don't get down over injuries at all. Believe me, I don't, lads. It's a knee injury. That's all it is. I get the best of treatments. I see the best of surgeons. I get the best of rehab. I get me wages in me bank account every month. Life is great. And the people that get down and have the right to get down and sad and frustrated and disappointed is maybe someone that's told they have a terminal illness. I haven't got long to live, but at the end of the day, lads, it's a knee injury. It's no big deal. If I make a comeback, that's great. If I don't, it's no big deal. I move on to something else. It's not life-threatening. Life is great, particularly with the players having such a fantastic season as well. It's definitely helped. If we were fighting relegation, maybe, and things weren't going well, then maybe I'd get a bit frustrated on the sidelines. But when the players are taking care of the business on the park, it's not a problem at all.
Just as we get closer to wrapping up, I don't think there's been many bigger characters than yourself around the club, certainly not in recent times. There must be one or two stories that stand out, and it would be amiss of us not to ask you if you've got one that you'd be willing to share with the Motherwell supporters and perhaps anyone else who cares to listen.
In fairness, all my stories happened in the mega bar, lads, and I can't... and listen to me, I cannot remember ever leaving the mega bar, so how am I going to remember the stories, to be fair? Like, all the good ones I can't remember. My mates used to tell me what happened. I couldn't remember from Saturday from 6 o'clock to maybe Tuesday morning about 9 a.m. That's when I came around. I enjoyed life on the park. I enjoyed life off the park. You could get away with it when you're a bit younger. I used to enjoy myself. I was a young single lad. I was on my own living in Motherwell. So, yeah, I frequented a few of the pubs and clubs, but I was always in the top three in terms of fitness-wise every pre-season, all during the season, so it never affected me. But I've calmed down a bit now. But I suppose the stories that I'd have, maybe we couldn't put on air, to be honest, lads.
We'll ask you about Motherwell then and see if we can get any answers.
Yeah, just get down to the mega bar. That'll sort you out.
Richie, I'd just like to finish by thanking you for your time. It's one of our favourite things to do, to get former players on and just to give us an insight to their time at Firth Park. Yours has been particularly interesting. It's great, and I'm sure the guys would like to thank you as well.
Yeah, thanks very much, Richie, and all the best with the recovery.
Yeah, as you say, sir, thanks for coming on, taking the time, and hopefully, as you say, you get back into your training pretty soon.
Thanks a lot, boys. Lads, it's been a pleasure. Anytime, Atten from Motherwell Football Club, I'm available. As I said, I've got great love for the club. I've got great love for Inverness as well. And I wish you all the best for the coming season, as long as you don't finish on top of us. All the best, lads. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Richie.
Thank you. You've been listening to the By the Men MFC podcast. We'll be back next with Jim Patterson. Until then, thank you. Goodbye.